Welcome to our discussion meeting this evening, and on the May 20, 2008. This is just to make sure everyone understands, this is not a regular council meeting. It's not a council meeting where we'll vote to approve or disapprove anything. It's a meeting to discuss this issue of the smoking ordinance, non-smoking ordinance, if you will, in certain places. And we are happy to have you with us. We want your comments. And we would like to ask this evening that you try to hold them to 5 minutes. Sometimes we get pretty lengthy here, and we don't want to be too lengthy. We want you to be able to say what you want to say, but I think most everybody can say what they want to say in 5 minutes if they really try hard. So why don't we try that? And I'll try to let you know if you're running over. We're not going to be real detailed on that, but that'll be a guideline anyway.
Hiya, and, come in.
What was that? So again, thank you for being here. We have a list, and we only have 6 people that have signed up to speak, but that doesn't mean that you can't speak. This is just to give us an idea and to give us addresses and make things a little bit clearer. Sometimes we don't quite get all the addresses of folks in the name, so this is a help as a starter. So let me ask first council if they have any questions. We've had the proposed ordinance. We've also had the Greenville ordinance and the Aiken County ordinance. And let me turn this over to Roger at this point. Let him give a little bit more detail and say what he would like to say about it, because he's done the work. He and Richard Pierce have done the work on this. And then we'll ask council if we have any questions or anything we need to clear up. And then we'll, of course, ask for comments from the public. So, Roger, would you like
to? Yes, sir. Thank you. A number of local governments have either passed a smoking ban or are in the process of passing a smoking ban in South Carolina. These include Aiken County and Beaufort County, the town of Bluffton, city of Charleston, Columbia, Greenville, Hilton Head, Liberty, Mount Pleasant, Sullivan's Island, Surfside Beach, Clemson, and North Augusta's review unit also. We took the 2 ordinances that were presented before you at various times. One was Greenville. The reason we took the Greenville case is it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has ruled that the Greenville smoking ordinance meets all the requirements, and they found nothing wrong with that ordinance itself. We then took the Aiken County ordinance because we would like to, as closely as possible, make sure that within our county and community, we'd somewhat mirror what they're doing, understanding that Aiken is obviously a little different than Aiken County, but we'd like to be as similar as possible. There are a couple of differences between what Aiken County has and what we have before you. So ours, what we have, is really a melding or blending together the two areas. One, the enforcement. The enforcement with Aiken County is done through the Building Inspections Department. We're having our ordinance done through the City Manager's Office. That way, depending on what the offense is or what the problem that may occur, then I could go ahead and direct whether public safety should be dealing with this, whether our business license people need to be dealing with it, or who needs to deal with the various violations that might occur. The other major difference that we have within ours versus the county is they're staying in all sports arenas, you cannot smoke. When you look at their definition of sports arena, it could be Haygood Stadium, where up in the stands you wouldn't want to smoke, but they might have an area where you could go over within the fenced in area so you don't have to actually leave the gated area. Just like at Williams-Brice Stadium, they have designated areas within the confines of the building itself or the stadium itself. But depending on how council wants to look at it, that would mean that people walking around the track could be smoking. Or could be smoking at Citizens Park. So again, I'm pointing out what's in here versus what you may want to look at in the future. The other area is we have it within here that all bars would not be able to have smoking in or public buildings unless it was a private facility, or if you had a private party within a particular room that the public wouldn't be able to get into, then that could be designated. So when you think of locations in Aiken, the Aiken County one says you can smoke in bars. We're saying that you cannot smoke in confined spaces. What is a confined space? The way it's defined within the Aiken County and within our ordinance is if three signs are open to the outside, that is an open area. So again, if you're somebody wanted to smoke and they were on the sidewalk at one of the outdoor cafes, they'd be able to do so. If they're right behind us at the Bowery or DeVore's in an open area, they could do that. If they were at the pizza joint on Newberry Street, which has got walls on one side but then has a partial wall going up, they would not be able to do so because there's a partial wall. It's not totally open on three sides. So that's what we're saying here, and that's mirroring what the county has as far as what's open and what's not open. Otherwise, most all of it is right in line with the counties, and Richard Pierce is the one that drafted this up. Again, this is a draft ordinance. Tonight, we're not asking council to vote on this draft ordinance, but we're asking you to tell us, is there particular areas that you'd like us to change? Because our intention would be on June 9th, we'd be bringing that to city council for first reading, and then second reading would be on June 23rd. Those are the main areas. Richard here could answer any particular area. We did give you and pass out restrictions versus non-restricted areas so that you kind of see what we would allow and where smoking could happen. Again, for a hotel, if they wanted to have some designated smoking rooms, they could. Private clubs could have it. Outdoor areas could have this. Private residents obviously could have this, and any outdoor area that's not posted for non-smoking. So that is what we are presenting to you tonight, and we're open to hearing your thoughts and feelings concerning this.
Thank you, Roger. Does anyone in council have any comments they'd like to make or questions? Or
I just have some detailed questions, but I don't know if we ought to have the discussion first. What is this private club? Is something that is not for pecuniary gain on page 5. It means an organization, whether incorporated or not, which is the owner, lessee, or occupant of a building, et cetera, which is operated solely for a recreational, fraternal, social, patriotic, political, benevolent, or athletic purpose, but not for pecuniary gain. So that doesn't sound to me like you could have a room in a restaurant and a private party.
Mr. Mayor, Ms. Walters, that, in other words, you wouldn't have a so-called private bar where people pay $10 to be a member and then go and drink because it's for profit. That anticipates the 501c3, the nonprofit organizations that may have a meeting hall and meet there. So you're just a member of that particular organization.
So those would be the only types of locations where people could smoke in a private room. Is that correct?
That is correct.
It wouldn't be in a restaurant that had a private facility, because
because it's banned in restaurants.
That's for profit. Okay.
Right.
The other one, let's see, a couple of things. On page 7.
Yes, ma'am.
Section 2268A, mm-hmm. Private offices. That means if an individual has an office.
Right. The reason that you see those kind of things in this draft ordinance, Greenville-based, their ordinance on the Surgeon General's report. The Surgeon General for the United States did a 4-year study and prepared a 600-page report that made detailed findings about the deleterious effects of secondhand smoke. And based on that, it was determined that even in these enclosed spaces with so-called air scrubbers and that type of thing, while that removed large particulate matter and maybe some odor, the carcinogens that the Surgeon General found through this study that was in cigarette smoke were not removed by those scrubbers. So Greenville, and I spoke with the attorney that worked on that ordinance, Greenville has those findings, as you'll see the findings in our draft ordinance as well, that it's an enclosed space and you just can't scrub it enough because of those carcinogens, heavy metals, and other pollutants.
Then in section 2269 on page 8, section B,
yes.
What's this about? Hotel and motel rooms may have non-smoking or smoking rooms. Then the status of rooms as smoking or not smoking may not be changed except to add additional non-smoking rooms.
Right, right.
So what about a new hotel or motel?
I think a new hotel could have a designated smoking floor, but they need to take steps that the smoking floor, and we have a definition of infiltrate, you know, doesn't.
So if a hotel owner wanted to designate more smoking rooms, he could not, she or she could not.
That's right. Now, that's under this current draft.
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking what it's saying. Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Right.
Okay. I understand the private club thing in Part E then. That does it for right now. Thank you.
Yes. You're very welcome.
Just one question with a private club. If a private club is hosting a function, a wedding, an anniversary party, and so forth, and they're serving alcohol, but they're also serving a meal, mm-hmm. what does the ordinance say about that?
I think the ordinance says that the private club could not have smoking if anyone from the public can go in. The way I read the draft, Mr. DeWar, is that if you have a private party and the general public is not going into the building, then they could have smoking. So your example with the wedding reception, I could see that they could have ashtrays out with no problem in this private club with a private function, invitation only.
Okay, so they could serve food,
yep.
and drink and smoke. Okay.
Under the current draft.
Under this draft. And I mean, that would be like Newberry Hall. But now that's for pecuniary gain. So that would not be allowed, right?
It is. That is a for-profit facility. That
correct.
Is correct. So I was taking Mr. DeWar's example that it was a private club already, but they had a private function.
Like
again, the function KFC, of the hall is not necessarily for-profit right. as a Newberry Hall-type operation would be.
Okay.
Any other comments? We were talking a couple days ago. I was talking with Roger and Richard about this partial wall thing. And of course, it comes up with the pizza, the new pizza place. They've got how tall is that wall?
3 to 4 feet.
3 to 4 feet. They've got a wall like this. Otherwise, it's open to the outside. And so we were discussing whether or not that should be the case, that you would not allow them to smoke in there simply because we have in our ordinance a partial wall. Now, a partial wall could be anything. It could be 1 foot, and that would be a partial wall. Or it could be 10 feet. Higher it goes, of course, the more you capture the smoke and what have you. But that may be one thing the council might want to think about.
Mr. Mayor, not in this draft.
Okay.
And again, that's why it's got to be open, totally open to three sides. Therefore, a partial wall is not totally open on three sides.
Yeah, Roger. But Richard said something else, I thought.
Yeah.
In the definition, based on that conversation, Mr. Mayor, I did take out the partial wall language. Right. So the version that you have right now, and it's on page 4 at the very bottom. And it just says, enclosed area means all space between a floor and ceiling that is enclosed on all sides by walls or windows exclusive of doorways, which extend from the floor to the ceiling, including stationary structures and mobile public conveyances. It does not mean an area open on at least three sides, even if it is covered by a roof or has a ceiling over it. So if it were
okay.
open on three sides, then it would not be a considered an enclosed area, and smoking would be permitted. Remember, the focus of the draft ordinance is prohibiting smoking in enclosed areas only.
Okay. So the partial wall concept is out now.
That's correct.
It would be okay for them.
No.
Or it would not.
Yes.
Let me make sure I understand.
We may need to clarify that. But if it's open on three sides, and again, council may want to have a finer definition of what we consider open on three sides. Does that mean totally open floor to ceiling?
Well, that's why I brought it up, because we had that discussion, and that's
why, sir.
I said I think council may want to think about that a little bit. They may want to set a limit if it's lower than 4 feet or something.
I would agree.
I think it's too restrictive, personally. Just arbitrarily say partial wall without putting some kind of a footage to it, if you will.
And that's why we removed partial wall. We don't talk about partial walls. We do talk about it being open on three sides.
Totally open.
So we could further define what we mean by open on three sides.
But I do think you need a definition, because we could find an 8-foot wall with airspace.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whether it's 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet, or whatever we might want to talk about, but it seems that most of it is open.
And you could do a percentage. I mean, in the zoning ordinance, for example, we talk about 50%, 75%, whatever you want to define.
Yeah, yeah.
But in here it says from floor to ceiling. I'm sorry.
It does.
It says
there are places with porches, and those porches, when you look at the size from north to south and east to west, and then the front porch, would that constitute a three side? And that's just throw in the pizza joint. You got both ends, and then the front portion, which I would say is Newberry Street, as where the large where that entrance is. Would that be considered a three sided?
And again, I think you have to look at the total structure, Ms. Price. It's a good point. The way we have it drafted right now, we're talking about if that building is open on three sides, mm-hmm. it's not considered an enclosed space. And it's a good example to talk about, because mm-hmm. as you go to that particular restaurant, there's an entranceway.
Right.
And you go through a door, and then you are completely enclosed. And just for council's information, Greenville says that any smoking would have to be at least 10 feet away from that entrance door, because, again, in that Surgeon General's report, mm-hmm. it talks about the ill effects of secondhand smoke, and the idea was to get the smokers away from the entrance door mm-hmm. so that that smoke doesn't, waft into
right.
the enclosed area.
Because you're walking through the mask to get into the restaurant?
You are.
Okay, well, that's some points we can talk about, consider. Anything else? Okay, we'll ask the public if they would like to speak. And the first person in the public here is Sam Erb.
He's going to let this gentleman, he's got to go to a meeting.
Oh,
I'll let him go real quick and then I'll go.
Certainly, okay.
I'm Jack Beckham, 188 Governor Lane. And I'm definitely opposed to this. I've been through this before with the county. It's no need for it. First of all, people have basically quit smoking. We have I think I read where we got 10% to 20% of the people still smoking. In my day, when we were kind of, your kids, everybody smoked, probably 100%, 90%. And all of a sudden, we want to get in. Why would any reasonable body want to get into trying to legislate smoking ban? That is absolutely ridiculous. I told the county the same thing. They went along with it. It happens to be politically correct right now to be against smoking. See, smokers are a little minority, so you can all jump on them. And everybody claps, hooray, hooray. And I think it's ridiculous. The county sat there and approved it with the sheriff standing right there, said he would not enforce the law. Now, why would you pass a law and you have your main law enforcement there and said he wouldn't even enforce it? That's a waste.
I think we can answer that when you finish.
Thank you.
That was not the reason he said he couldn't enforce it. The reason he said he could enforce it, as far as I know, is that he doesn't have the forces to do it. He needs people. He's needed people for some time, for other things.
I beg your pardon, the exact words out of that. He said he would not enforce it.
he didn't have time to go chasing people for violating the smoking ban when he got drug dealers out here killing them.
That's exactly what
that word he said.
That's what I'm saying, Jed. I agree with you. He didn't say he wouldn't enforce it because he didn't feel like it was a health issue. The reason we're doing this is not because we're looking for something to do. It's because of all these organizations that have identified the fact that it is a health issue. You want to read it? It's two pages. If you'd like to read all the facts.
Okay. No correlation between secondhand smoke and anybody's health.
Well,
baloney. And just because the organization is one of these non-profit organizations who. All the officers make a lot of money, but the organization, of course, not a profit. They don't take a tax. This is the same thing goes over all over and over. All you're doing is taking the freedom of people, and you continue to do it. And you keep this up, we'll have Russia. Why don't you just pass the law where we have some stormtroopers that go out and check to see what everybody's doing?
Jed, you're getting way off in the distance now. I know that what's the truth, and it's a health risk. That's what I know is the truth. My dad died with cancer, lung cancer, at 61 years old. My stepdad, after that, died with cancer, lung cancer, at almost the same age. I've seen others die. We've got all the facts and figures. We are trying to make our community healthy as we can be, and we're trying to protect especially younger kids and those that have to work in environments like that. And we can go on and on as to why. You know well why, because you sat at the Aiken County Council and you've heard of the reasons.
I've heard the reasons. Yeah, I've heard all of them.
It's not because of the reasons you mentioned, though.
Because people do good for people. Your job, the legislative's job, is not to protect the people from themselves. The legislative job is to protect the people from the government. You're not doing that. The government is gradually taking over.
Okay, thank you for being with us, Jed. Thank you, sir. Okay, Sam, Mr. Erb, please.
Hi, my name is Sam Erb, 1556 Dibble Road, Aiken. First of all, I'd like to just, if I could just give an opinion, and then I'd like to talk about the ordinance. I'm not up here against the ordinance because I know it's probably going to happen. As you well know, I've been dealing with smoking ordinance throughout the state for many years and dealt with the county through there. Smoking ordinance and so forth. Unfortunately, our state legislators did not make this state law. They should have made this state law to have uniformity through our state. Instead, they passed it down to municipalities like y'all to make up your own rules and regulations. Therefore, it's going to create unfair competition. From municipality line to municipality line, all the way around the state. A visitor will come through the state of South Carolina, even if it's a non-smoker and doesn't want to go to a smoking place. He won't know what ordinance that town has. So my point tonight to you is stress. We have an ordinance in Aiken County that works. Why reinvent the wheel? Let's show the rest of the state that Aiken, North Augusta, and other surrounding municipalities can all work together and have uniformity in one the same ordinance. Aiken should not be any different than North Augusta, as it should in Belvedere, you know, etc. I just think it should be the same. And let us be an example to the rest of the state. This is what we can do. Our neighboring communities can work together. I think that's important. I think it says a lot.
How does the county ordinance, I mean, if we had exactly the county ordinance, how would it affect you? I mean, your restaurant and your bar.
Number one, and that's where I was going to get into this too, but my restaurant's been non-smoking for 16 years.
Yeah, so I know that.
And there's 35 feet between the restaurant and the bar. Now, the county says if you even, they have the attached bar wordage. They call it an attached bar. In other words, a restaurant and the bar under the same roof to them is an attached bar.
Okay.
I am an attached bar. I'm one roof. But my restaurant has three air conditioners and then a large separation of the lobby where everybody enters, and then two air conditioners with two smoke eaters. And I know what Richard was saying about the smoke eaters, but there's an effort there, and that effort's been in place for 16 years for that purpose. The county, with an age limit of 18, would allow you to have signage that says this is a smoking bar. Mm-hmm. It has, because of the separate ventilation, mm-hmm. where there's no intrusion, it does not get to the other air conditioners. Mm-hmm. Scott Singer had asked a question to a, and I don't remember who he asked that question, will those from that distance get into each other's systems? And the answer was no. And that's what I was going to, I got to put my glasses on. On the letter to you guys, well, to you from Roger, I think, that the major difference between the county's ordinance and ours is the enforcement. Well, there are many differences, and that is one of the major differences. I don't smoke. My wife doesn't smoke. But I've been in business for 27 years, and for Pete's sake, a bar is different than a restaurant. When these bars, and by the way, the bar, the state legislators, the state government does not know what a word B-A-R is. It's nowhere in the Constitution, the word bar. It is, find out, it is not. They don't have the word in any language or any document of anything that the word bar. But, of course, the county does, and we do, and I think Greenville does as well. But I just wanted to point that out. When we promote our business to come see the Super Bowl, and there are people that don't smoke until they drink, and you want them to come to your place and do business and pay taxes for 4 hours during that game, but yet you're going to make them go out the door and smoke when they're in a bar where that door could be closed, which that's the way the county ordinance, where that door would be closed, separate ventilation, so forth, so on. If that person was to go outside, I think they would just keep on going to go home. And that's one of our concerns. I think you don't want to jeopardize with this, not per se the ordinance, but with the uniformity of keeping the hospitality business strong in Aiken County. I think that should be the goal. Our hospitality industry in Aiken County is very strong. And for years, we have fought to get across the river. That is our major competitor, is Augusta, Georgia, right next to us. And I think that ought to be considered. That's all. I had a few more. I don't know how my 5 minutes are. I have a copy of the county ordinance. I think the fines were different from the city to the county, only for the operator. I think the individual was the same, but wasn't the county operator fines like 100?
We mirrored what the city of Greenville had as far as fines are concerned, because that was approved by the state Supreme Court.
Okay.
The council has both those ordinances, the county and...
Right, yes. I'm familiar with both of them as well. The Greenville ordinance, of course, when you are in the office and you have to step outside to smoke, you can't stand. You have to keep walking.
You have to be 10 feet away, don't you, from the door?
Yes, yes.
But then you can then you can stand.
No, you have to be moving.
You have to be moving.
If you're standing still in the city of Greenville, 10 feet away, you are in violation of that ordinance.
Let me check with my attorney. I don't say you're wrong, Sam. I don't know.
That's what...
Richard, is that right? I thought if you were 10 feet away from the door, you could smoke. You wouldn't have to be moving.
You have to be moving. Hospitality executive.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. I think the Greenville ordinance is a little strong.
Yeah, well, we don't have that in ours.
And Greenville is far from Augusta, Georgia.
We don't have that in ours, Sam.
I'm aware of that, yeah. I'm just saying, yeah. I kind of like the Georgia side of the law and Aiken County's ordinance better than the upper state. They're dealing with a different area, a different state as far as their immediate competition. Mm-hmm. We can't forget that. For years, we tried to get the Augusta people in Aiken from going to Augusta. For Pete's sake, we now have businesses from Augusta in the hospitality industry coming to Aiken. And we don't want to jeopardize that.
I have a question to ask Sam, Mr. Mayor.
You have to, Kitty.
You can't stand still. You have to keep moving. This is to circulate.
Okay. That's true. Okay. Sam, you're absolutely right.
Thank you very much. I have good sources in Columbia.
Right. That was just something I missed when I read it.
There's a lot. I mean, it's a little stringent. It's a little strong.
Well, I think so, too.
I think...
Excuse me, Sam.
Yeah.
So the county ordinance under Section 11-71 says that smoking is prohibited in an attached bar, which would be your circumstance.
Right.
So underneath the county's ordinance, there would not be smoking allowed in the attached bar.
What it says in the county is... all bars and restaurants to which access is denied to any person under age 18 that do not employ any individual under the age of 18, or private rooms and restaurants and bars if such rooms are enclosed and have an air handling system independent from the main air handling system that serves all other areas of the building, and all air within the private room is exhausted directly to the outside by an exhaust fan of sufficient size.
But in Section 11-71, public areas where smoking is prohibited, item number C is attached bars.
That's right. That's right.
So that prohibits smoking in attached bars.
Unless they have those, they meet those requirements. Applebee's is an attached bar as well, but their bar is in the dead center of that restaurant. You just have the proper signage.
Okay, and this is the Aiken County.
Persons who have begun smoking are to approach.
That was an amendment.
Could you share that conversation, please? Because I'm still have a question about it.
And the way our ordinance reads, you would not be able to smoke in that area.
All right, and that right there is different.
That is correct.
That's my point. That is a major difference with a city within the county. You're creating unfair competition, and you do not have uniformity within your community.
One of the problems, Sam, that we saw when we were looking at this is wait staff, customers, others would have to walk through that area to get to the patio area or to get to the outside.
Patio is smoking. Patio's an outside. If you want to come into the west side of
Wait staff would have to walk through there. You're serving food on the other side of it.
That's right. We have a
and
back
again,
entrance.
Council yeah. could decide differently, but that,
I understand.
That is different.
Yeah. I just, my point of being up here tonight is uniformity. I do not want to create unfair competition because, number one, if you make a law, they're going to find out how to get around it and twist it and put up glass doors and make it a private building or whatever. They're going to find a way to do it. The smokers will go to the next available place. And is that fair? Is that fair to business owners? That's my point.
Sam, I work around smokers, and I have found that they are extremely conscious, and I've worked on-site and off-site.
More so
and
now.
And they are yeah. extremely conscious and respectful of non-smokers. As a matter of fact, you know, there are some that I work with that even with traveling, they will not smoke in the car when, you know, it's perfectly legitimate to smoke in the car, but they'll wait until we have stopped, sure. and then they'll smoke independent of us. But we have a smoke-free workplace at Savannah Riverside, and those folks leave their buildings and go outside to smoke, and you're talking about a lot of people that's impacted, that have learned the culture of what it takes to enjoy their habit and how it impacts other people. We just went recently to an event and remember the location, but anyway, we thought we were getting a smoke-free room, and it wasn't a smoke-free room. That was what they had available was when we inquired that what we had wasn't a smoke-free room. But there were no ashtrays there, so you know when we walked in, it looked like it appeared to be a smoke-free room. But after you've been in there 60 seconds, you realize,
Yeah.
So we went out to get Lysol and stuff and tried to make it pleasant for us. And with all the stuff that we use, when we left there the next day, my hair, my clothing was filled with smoke. So even though nobody was smoking, just overnight, sleeping in the bed and in the room, you could oh, yeah. feel the impact.
That brings up another point that I wanted to make. I think there's a state out there that will not allow you to smoke in a car if you have children. Now, this brings me to the hotels, and I tried to get the county to do that. It may not be legal. Richard may be able to help. But if you have smoking parents and they want a hotel room and they have two children, mm-hmm. with them, are you going to allow those two parents with those two young infants or children or whatever it may be to get in that smoking room, close the door with those two children in? What is the difference there? I don't understand that. Is it a law that you can't tell parents what they can and can't do with their children? I think that, you know, if you're going to go this far, let's do it right. Yeah. But anyway, I think I've exhausted my 5 minutes, but I appreciate all the time that you gave me. If there are any questions, I feel like I'm very knowledgeable about this. I know I am not up here saying no to this ordinance. I want uniformity and fairness. And I'm going to go June 2nd to North Augusta. They got the same letter that y'all got from mm-hmm. me. And I'm going to say the same things. I believe in it. It should have been done statewide. I don't understand why it wasn't. Maybe it was election year. I don't know. But we must have uniformity. And this is 2008.
And knowing the quality of your restaurant, people are going to go because of the business, your service, you and your wife. And
I hope so.
Yeah, that's why they come and will continue to come, whether this is in effect or not. It's the quality of service you present in your food.
Sam, let me ask you a question that might help you understand why the state has not done something. Are you a part of the, what do you call it, the entertainment, not
hospitality.
Hospitality industry.
Yes, I was past president.
Okay, and you know that they have a very prominent presence in Columbia, and
we chose not to fight due to the fact that we felt it might give us a black eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't really push the issue. We knew it was going to happen anyway.
The organization did not.
That's right.
But do you suppose individual business owners may have done that? I'm just trying to help you understand what goes on there if you're not familiar with the...
You're saying why the state legislature...
You're saying you don't understand why they don't have one from the state.
I think they should have. I think it's wrong. Why have... How many cities are in the state of South Carolina?
A lot of them, but you know...
You're going to have that many ordinances by the time this is over, and I think that's absurd. They're all going to be different.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I was just trying to help you with your thought process as to why there is no state law on this matter.
It took us 18 years to get rid of mini bottles and join the rest of the nation with large bottles.
Right.
And then they're going to have 350 different ordinances for smoking. I think it's absurd, but that's my personal opinion.
Okay. Sam, I got a call today from a restaurateur in Aiken who's been smoke-free for a long time. Mm-hmm. And he just wanted me to know that it's not adversely affected his profits at all.
My restaurant.
He thinks it's the right thing to do. He's got a bar right in the middle of the eating area. He got eating around him all over. And his bar is right in the middle. And he said that he had not been affected in a bad way at all, revenue wise.
No, I agree.
He said it really bothered him. One thing that touched him, I think, that he mentioned was one time a mother came up, and maybe a dad too, with about a 14-year-old child and sat there, perhaps waiting for a table. I don't know. And the smoke was all around. And for whatever happened, I don't know what made him think of this, but it just bothered him that child, I don't know whether she's coughing or what, I have no idea, but had to sit there, you know, and wait. And I think that's one of the real concerns. If you believe, and apparently Mr. Beckham didn't, but if you believe the information that you've seen and heard, and it's in all the ordinances, from all the various... Very noted, and you know.
Oh, I'm aware. I've
organizations,
heard
and they talk about secondhand smoke.
Oh, I've heard it in Columbia.
Children exposed to secondhand smoke have an increased risk of sudden death syndrome, acute respiratory infection. And somebody can say, well, that's all fear tactics, and this doesn't happen often, and all that. But it's here.
I'm not arguing that fact.
It's here, and then it says separating, and you know this too, separating smoking and non-smoking sections of indoor areas does not sufficiently remove the threat of secondhand smoke in enclosed areas.
Right. Oh, I'm aware.
And that's where it touches you right there,
right,
because
that's
you've
right.
got that
that's
separation.
Right. But and there's where the age limit comes in. You're an adult. This is a smoking facility, bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your decision. It's a private right decision. I don't know. That's just...
Do you have workers? Well, this is another area of concern. Are workers that work there who may not say anything about it, but all the time they're sucking in that secondhand smoke.
Well,
and
smoke
of course, what you'll hear is, well, they can get another job somewhere else if they don't like it. But
they're not allowed to smoke inside the building. They have to exit the building. That's our own.
But I mean, even in your bar area where you do serve food.
Right.
And others do, you know, old Charlie's. That's got a similar situation. It's probably worse than yours because you do have that separation. And maybe there are others that I don't even know about.
Yeah.
Sure.
Our lobby, our holding area for patrons that are waiting for a table in the restaurant is non-smoking. Mm-hmm. And I would enforce that even more so mm-hmm. with this ordinance, you know, if we were to hopefully adopt the ordinance that's already in place in Aiken County, you know. Things will change. People adjust.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just like the uniformity. That's all.
Well, I think that is important. As much as you can get there, as close as you can get there. Thank you.
Sam, do you think we could change the county to our system?
Well, you know, I have that written down here. Even if you feel so strong about what you have, then let's go to the... My point here is let's all work together. Let's have one ordinance. I think they might. You know, but no matter... And North Augusta, what are they going to come up with? You know, have they looked at Aiken counties? I'm sure they have. I've talked to Sam Bennett back... Well, not talked to him, but he's gotten a copy of my letter and he emailed me back. But I'd like to see that happen. We're all adults. We're all business people. Common sense. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Mr. Dan Kerrigan?
If I may, I think my addition might be more valuable later in the lineup. I can answer a lot of these objections that are coming up.
All right, all right. That's fine, Dan. Fine. Carla McLeod?
Hi, I'm Carla Cloud. I'm the Aiken Downtown Development Association Executive Director, and we did speak with our restaurants, our member restaurants, to kind of get a feel, and I have to say the first concern was that we are concerned about the slippery slope we're on as far as the government regulation of something that where people have a right or not to go into a restaurant, or they can make that choice not to go into a restaurant. But I will also say that all of the restaurants that we got in touch with already have no smoking. So that was another concern, is that they're already doing this on their own. There was concern about the outside smoking areas, and you've already said that that would be okay except for three-sided. And I did think about Stoplight Deli when you mentioned that, because their two tables are actually in their alcove, which would, in effect, say that they have three sides to their outside dining, and how would that affect them? So those were the concerns that they had. I just want to make sure that I'm not missing anything. They did, some also felt like bars and tavern patrons should be allowed to smoke. But the biggest concern was the outside dining, and the fact that we did have some that also said that it should come from the state, as Sam had mentioned, that it be more uniform. And I think he was talking about North Augusta and the county changing to ours, but I think also his concern and some of the others was that we are bordering Georgia, and so we may want to take into consideration what their ordinances are also. Anything else?
Did we look at Georgia? Augusta, do they have such a thing?
They got an ordinance. They have an ordinance. I have no idea what it says.
And again, I think Sam makes a good point in his the letter that I think all of you received, that says that, you know, that's more who we're in line with than, say, Greenville, who's further away. So just a thought.
I think the key to Greenville that people keep thinking about is the fact that it's gone through the scrutiny of the Supreme Court. Not that another one wouldn't also. One of the big things there was whether it's going to be criminal or not. That was a major point that the Supreme Court talked about and changed. It's not a criminal offense. It's a nuisance. It's a fine.
And it is. And I must say, personally, I'm a non-smoker and I don't like it, but I worry too about that slippery slope that we're sliding down. So I want to take the smokers out of the knees now.
Thank you, Carla. Donald Swindler?
My name is Don Swindler. I live at 608 Douglas Drive. I must certainly hope that you eight members on this council don't water this down. It is very important. I've been to Greenville multiple times, and their smoking ordinance is very well done. Every bar and restaurant I've been into, the owners have actually increased their business, not decreased. And the same as in Augusta. I would rather go to Augusta and eat in a bar that does not smoke and spend $4 a gallon and go there than to spend time breathing somebody's smoke. I don't understand that. It is a health issue only. You know, a cigarette contains 4,000 substances, that can kill you. 1,500 of them are carcinogens. That's cancer causing. And I, like you, have family members who have smoked and died. Last 3 years, 5 people I know very well have all died of cancer, lung cancer. And no matter what you say to them, they continually smoked. Even one of them who had cancer and said, you have 6 months to live. But, you know, he died. Me, in my case, I have asthma. I spend a great deal of money each month to keep my lungs open so I can breathe. And the one substance that kicks in that none of the medicine I take is smoking. Not long ago, I was in a restaurant that was non-smoking. I come out through their lobby, and sure enough, there was 2 people smoking there. I had to go home, run the whole evening, but I went home, had to wash my hair, and take all my clothes and wash them, because my body cannot stand the smoke. And that's just the way God made me. And there is more than just me who have asthma. I see them when I go to the doctor. And they are very concerned about this. That's why I don't think this should be watered down at all. If anything, you should probably put something in there about smoking away from the doors, 10 feet or 20 feet. I think at SRS it's 20 feet, right? Something like that. But here, I don't know. Downtown, it would never work because they're so close. But 10 feet might be sufficient to do that. So I'd like you to consider that. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you, Don. Any questions? Thank you, sir. Okay, Jana Land? Is it Lan or Lane or?
Lane,
L-A-N. Lane, okay.
Sorry, all right. I was probably writing with my last name.
Hello, Mayor, members of council. Thank you for listening to us all tonight. Will you remind me that I have some packets for you to pass out to you before I leave? Some business costs, economic impact of smoke-free laws, and some of the Surgeon General's report, too, just for you to take a look at. It might sound weird if I said that I love smokers. But I do love one smoker, and that's my fiancé, Tom. He was my boyfriend until 2 weeks ago, and he just asked me to marry him, and I said yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Sadly, he is a smoker. Sadly, he is addicted, so I live with that every day. I teach smoking cessation. I help people who want to quit. He does not want to quit. He does, however, not smoke in any establishments. He goes outside, even if he is in a bar, and he still makes the choice to go outside, so good for him. I'm with the South Carolina Tobacco Collaborative, and I'm here tonight really to talk about employee health and workers' health. An employee, whether they be a dishwasher, a bartender, a server, a secretary, a musician, their health is equally as important, and it's also as important as a child's. I can understand how we would want to protect children by keeping restaurants smoke-free. Unfortunately, smoke is not smart enough to read a non-smoking sign. Smoke doesn't say, okay, I won't go past this sign because that says non-smoking. Smoke just isn't that smart. And according to the Surgeon General, there are no safe levels of secondhand smoke exposure. We know that. Tomorrow morning, the City of Columbia will be voting on including all bars in their previous ordinance passed in 2006. And unfortunately, they've created a lot more work for themselves because they had to go revisit that again. If they would have just come up with a 100% comprehensive ordinance saying protect all workers in all workplaces, they wouldn't have to be going back and doing this. But hopefully, they'll do the right thing tomorrow morning as well. I'm here to urge you and to let you know that the South Carolina Tobacco Collaborative is at your beck and call. If you need any information, I'm your go-to person. If I don't know it, I'll find it out for you. I would love to help you pass this ordinance, comprehensive ordinance, and also during the implementation process. Please consider the 100% comprehensive smoke-free ordinance to protect all workers from the effects of secondhand smoke. Thank you very much.
Gina, don't forget your books you're going to hand out.
Thank you.
And is there anything you want to tell us about those while you're here?
Sure.
Okay. So she doesn't have one for me.
Sorry.
You guys get one.
You can borrow mine, Don.
So She said there wasn't enough.
It's just, it's easy, light reading, just some bullet points about some of the business costs that workers that employ smokers, those smokers are absent about 50% more of the time than non-smokers, the costs of them being sick, the insurance costs, and also some economic studies that have been done in the United States, not just states that have the ordinance, but municipalities that have the ordinance, which I know is what you're faced with here, and also then that handy-dandy Surgeon General's report, which I know you've mentioned a lot this evening. And I've enclosed a business card in there if I can answer any questions. I love the city of Aiken, so I'll just come here and hang out. Actually, it's really cool. But thank you very much. I really appreciate you listening to all of us tonight.
Okay, thank you, Gina, very much. Is anyone else would like to speak besides Dan? Okay. Okay, and then John, you can be next, sir.
My name is Toni Corcoran. I'm the Director of Student Health from the University of South Carolina, so maybe I'll be able to answer some of those questions from the panel for the workers who work in the bars. I am the Director of Student Health. I didn't give you an address. University of South Carolina, I guess that'll do.
Is that out of Columbia or Aiken?
Aiken, I'm sorry, University of South Carolina, Aiken, 471 University Parkway, right down the street. I was approached about 10 minutes till 5 this afternoon, so I wasn't really sure how to approach this, what you were looking for. So I did a little background. I know that a lot of our students do work in bars because of their schedules. They tend to have evening jobs or weekend jobs, and that's some of their easiest employees, the people that can employ them. Some of the statistics we've already gone through, but as a nurse, one of the things we have to remember is that secondhand smoke does affect about 126 million Americans annually, and it's higher for lower income individuals. And if we can go back and remember when we were all in school, when we were getting our education, and when we were trying to maintain our grades and work at the same time, that was our lowest income of our lives. So if we remember that and we look at our students, they are striving to have an income, and it's the lowest income, so they are right there at that point in their lives. One of the things, and I wish that one man that was up here earlier when he was arguing about this not being a valid point, we argue over the point that secondhand smoke is more deadly than the actual smoking of a cigarette, and that is factual. If you think about someone smoking a cigarette, and they really, really toke on a cigarette, and you see that bright red burn of a cigarette, they are actually burning more of the toxins out of that cigarette. As someone sits there and holds a cigarette, and that little fume comes up off the cigarette, it's not burning as much of those toxins off the cigarette. So that's why secondhand smoke is so much more dangerous than the actual person who is smoking the cigarette. And for that reason, that's why secondhand smoking is so much dangerous. So let's go back to our students who are working in the bars. Our students are working in the bars, they're working in the restaurants, and Sam, I love your restaurant, but I've been there. I love to sit outside at your restaurant. What do I have to do to go sit outside at your restaurant? I have to go through the smoking section, and I'm not a smoker. So the servers that have to serve outside at your restaurant, they also have to go through the smoking section. So, and I'm not a smoker. So it dawned on me finally where your restaurant is, and I was like, so that answers that question. So as we go back and we look at the Carson. I didn't know what your restaurant was, but as you spoke, it dawned on me what your restaurant was. So as we look back at the toxins and the carcinogens in the cigarettes, there are about 250 chemicals in secondhand smoke. 50 of those are cancer causing. and even more, we have toxins and poisons. If you look at some of the handouts you'll be given, and we look specifically at the poisonous gases and chemicals, and remember, these are exactly what we're breathing, and our students are breathing as they work in these bars and in these restaurants, cyanide. Cyanide is used in chemical weapons. Carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is found in car exhaust. Butane. Butane is found in lighter fluid. Remember, this is what we're breathing when we go into these bars. Ammonia. Ammonia is found in household cleaners. Toluene. Toluene is found as paint thinner. Arsenic. Pesticides. Some people might use that to poison their spouses. Lead formerly was in paint, but just recently we heard that it was in our toys from China for our children. Chromium is used to make steel, and cadmium, for batteries. And we'll take another sidestep for a moment. I know everyone has been talking about bar owners losing money. In 2004, Ireland went to completely smoke-free pubs and bars. In 2005 and 2007, I went to Ireland. I was shocked at the total. I mean, it's just amazing to walk in a bar. And Leslie, you were talking about the smell of your hair when you walk out of bars. So that's probably the one thing I hate when I go into a bar. It was amazing to go into Ireland, into the bars. Number one, you can see that you don't walk through a film of smoke. And second off, they didn't lose money. It was packed. And one of the things they do, you know, people are talking about going outside. They make the outside nice for the smokers. Ireland is cold, I think all but 2 months of the year. They make the areas warm. They put those warming things, and they put seats out. No, I don't think that we could stand and walk around as a smoker, but they put inviting areas for smokers, so they do want to go outside. And those smokers do go outside. They go outside. You can see the majesty of the bars. Bars in Ireland, I don't know that all of our bars are as pretty, but they're made out of wood and majesty. But if Ireland, an entire country can do it, I don't see why Aiken can do it. And I'm from North Augusta, and I believe North Augusta can do it too. So, but and to protect our students, then our students that work in the bars, I believe that the bars and the restaurants can go smoke-free in North Augusta and Aiken.
Okay, Tony, thank you very much. Are there any questions, Tony, comments? Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Yes.
Johnson.
Yeah. Hey, Johnny, we said you'd be next, didn't we?
Okay.
Okay. Neil, you next? Okay.
Hi, my name is Johnny Johnson. I tend to agree with most everything that Sam said. I do believe that Greenville is, even though I know why you use that ordinance as an example. But as a county ordinance, I believe if you went to Section 1174 of the Aiken County Ordinance, and if you defined with Section B, which is a hotel or motel, basically it says 20% of the rooms could be designated as smoking rooms. I think that might be something that you would consider adding to the City of Aiken ordinance. I think the E, outdoor dining areas, there's been some discussion here about the three sides and defining that. I think that needs to be done. Section F, bars and restaurants. I believe that 1 and 2 should be added to our ordinance. The other thing that I have a question on that is in our ordinance, in the one you have proposed here, private clubs, this is under Section 2269, where smoking is not regulated. B, there is a hotel thing that I just mentioned in the county ordinance. But E, private clubs that have no employees. Folks, have y'all seen one of them? I have one. Maybe you need to put private clubs and strike out that no employee thing.
John, where are you looking?
I'm sorry. I'm on page 8, section 2269E.
Okay, sir.
It's private clubs that have no employees.
Except
when being used for function.
Follow that up now.
Except when being used for a function to which the general public is admitted.
Correct.
But what if I had the VFW? Don't they have an employee? They don't have an employee there?
I don't think so.
Probably the only person I know that doesn't have an employee would be the JCs. I mean, somebody's working in that place.
Well, like the American Legion, I don't think they have employees and VFWs.
Don't they have a bartender? I don't know. I haven't been to that.
Except when there's a function, then right. They would have an employee. But they don't have regular employees working there all the time at these private clubs.
Okay, well, maybe I just misunderstood that. But I just said I don't know a private club that doesn't have an employee. And maybe you're correct and I'm wrong there. That's just something.
That's just at least the way I interpret it.
Okay, all right. The other one, how is this going to affect this 10-foot rule and so forth if you're going to have people that are smoking out where we've issued permits, or the city's issued permits for them to eat out in, you know, at the tables out in front of those places?
But we don't.
How is that going to affect that? Is that going to affect that out there?
We don't have the 10-foot rule.
Pardon me?
The 10-foot rule is not in our ordinance at this point.
That's in Greenville, but not...
Okay, it's in the county. I did see it in Greenville.
Yeah.
I thought that you did have something in the Greenville. Maybe I'm wrong there.
It was a comment that we might want to consider that, but it's not there.
Okay. Well, and the other thing is, are we going to... I know how they say they're going to enforce this, but... As you know, my position is that we have too many ordinances that already are not being enforced here. That's a concern of mine, too. And I'll leave it right there. I don't want to take any more of your time.
Johnny, this has something to do with it, not exactly to your point, but I talked with Greenville folks today. My main question was, what kind of response are they getting, you know, for the restaurant owners? And it was already said a little bit earlier that most of the restaurant owners felt like it was a good thing and hadn't hurt their business at all. And the lady I talked to said that they had not, they may have had two complaints, but only, and those two folks were part of the suit, original suit. So they still weren't happy. But other than that, they hadn't gotten any complaints from anyone else. So... That's not, as I said earlier, that's not direct to your point, but I wanted to get that.
No, I appreciate that. Like I said, I'm not necessarily against this.
Right.
But I really, if you really sit back and look at it, most of the places that this ordinance covers, I mean, you walk down the streets of Aiken right here, just down the streets. You're not going to smoke in the bag. You're not going to smoke in the clothing store. You're not smoking in the jewelry store, you're not smoking in the lawyer's office, you're not smoking in the hardware store, you're not smoking in the finance company, you're not smoking in the Netflix store, you're not smoking in the drug store. So then if you went right on that street, where are people smoking? Restaurants and people that are serving alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the only, basically, that's who you're aiming this at, in my opinion, is that, and there is, when you go to get a liquor license in this state, as Sam said, there's no definition of a bar. You're a hotel or a private club. They can get, and I'm saying liquor, not beer and wine, that's the only people that can actually obtain a license without having a Class A restaurant license. If you went and took a place like the City Billiards, Sam's Place, or anything, you have to have a Class A restaurant license serving food to be able to serve liquor. And I think this is exactly where you're directing this. That's why I believe that if you've got a bar at where your hotel accommodation tax is coming from, that you're using for all types of facilities here in Aiken, don't they come from hotels? Don't they come from rental cars?
the accommodation.
But then you're trying to tell some hotel what percentage or that you can add a non-smoking room or a smoking room to your thing. Are you going to enforce this during the masters like you did the parking ordinance? No.
Well, we're still in the talking stages, Johnny. We said that at the beginning. Here I am.
I've made my point, and I mean, I won't leave it right there, but
right.
I thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate your comments very much.
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Neil Shaw. I reside at 1009 Evans Road, and I'm a hotelier, and we own and operate a few hotels here in Aiken, and I'm in full support of this. I think it's a fantastic initiative that y'all are taking as a group to represent the city. I speak from a hotel side, and you know, I get very community involved. I also get very hotel involved. I sit on a lot of franchise committees with Holiday Inn and Marriott. I'm sure if everyone is not aware, if they aren't, Marriott International took a huge initiative 1 year ago and made all their hotels non-smoking uh-huh. in North America. And that's a huge initiative. They see it as a global perspective that in North America, that non-smoking is a huge issue. Smokers want to stay in non-smoking rooms. I see a huge economic impact in my hotels for the good. We've done very well. I mean, we have a small hotel here, but all our hotels are non-smoking. We're building them in Columbia, and we're building them in North Charleston. They're all non-smoking. You see a huge economic impact when someone sees that sign that says non-smoking outside, and they want to come, and they say, wow, this is great. We don't have to fight smoke. We don't have to go and take a shower because our hair smells like smoke. It's very simple. And, you know, we've seen this, and I'm in full support. I think it's fantastic that y'all take this. I'd love to see y'all, see if y'all can produce. I'm maybe missing something. Show the economic impact analysis of how much more money can be made actually for business owners like us. We've seen just pluses, not minuses. So I just wanted to say thank you very much.
Neil, thank you so much. Anyone else? Okay. Sure.
Can I just say it
over
here?
No, you got to please come up so we can get you on tape.
You're not going to get by.
we're taped, so everybody has to be taped.
Well, my name is Carolyn Best, and I reside at 401 Northwood Drive in Aiken. And I would like to address the 10-foot ordinance that, you know, is not a part of this, because I do frequent like New Moon and different little restaurants downtown, and I would like to see that added, because what's happened is a non-smoker, if somebody's smoking in those little tables out there that are just right outside that 10-foot, then, you know, you have to walk through it to go in, and there's no way you want to sit outside to smoke. I mean, I wish there was, you know, maybe the town needs to have smoking places, like they mentioned, that there would be alleyways or different places that you could smoke, but because, and in the Bowery, and even at the Bowery and even at the brew pub, for me as a non-smoker, it's very disturbing to be around that because I can't breathe. And you may think that you're losing business because you're, you know, if you decide that you want to not let smokers smoke, but the people who don't smoke like me would. There in multitudes. I mean, I think it would increase a business rather than decrease a business, because when you're in that environment, you know, it's uncomfortable. It's just like what Leslie said. Whenever you're around smokers, you know, it's just not a comfortable place to be. If I have a choice, okay, well, then I'm going to go into the little restaurants, and they're mostly small little restaurants here that you can go into and eat as a non-smoker. But if all the smokers are sitting outside, which this might drive them to do, you know, we're thinking, okay, well, I'm going to smoke outside if I can't smoke inside like the bar at the Bowery, then it's going to be sort of bad to sit outside and be able to smell everybody smoking. You know what I mean? That's just my opinion. So I think there ought to at least be a 10-foot type of a rule or something. And even like they do in Ireland, if they have places in Ireland, and that's a huge country, and they found places that people could actually smoke and it'd be okay. But, you know, to have it smoking when you're outside, to me, is just as disturbing. And I have a grandson who's asthmatic. And whenever we are, and we frequent New Moon a lot, and I love that place, but whenever somebody is actually smoking and they come in and the doors open and close, he's got to where he couldn't breathe. You know, and I think, well, you know, how bad is that? It seems to me like as small as a place is, it should be a non-smoking area.
Well, we'll certainly look at that. You think the 10-foot, in other words, you're saying, I think, the 10-foot...
That they need to add the 10-foot ordinance. Because
if those tables were 10 feet away from the door...
10 feet away from the door.
Why? Yeah. Like that, so your person could walk through.
Right. And so if you're a non-smoker and you want to sit outside within that 10 feet, you know what I mean? You're at least you have some area that you're not saying that you have to be totally inside and you can't sit outside. You know what I mean? Which sort of penalizes the people who don't want to smoke, who might want to sit outside.
Right. But they don't have much more than 10 feet in front of that,
right,
do they?
No.
I mean, there's hardly more than 10 feet in front of that. So if you had a 10-foot rule over here, up here.
Oh, yeah.
So if you had a 10-foot rule, it would effectively eliminate smoking outside as well?
Right. And, you know, that's just my opinion, because that area there is very small. And if you are a non-smoker and there's somebody smoking, it's very offensive to sit out there. As a non-smoker, you can sit out there and not breathe because somebody at the next table is smoking. I mean, I realize that would be difficult in that area because a lot of people smoke, and some of the employees go out there and smoke. And a lot of times it's the employees that may be the ones that are out there smoking. And I think that there ought to be a special place that they can smoke, even if it's in the alleyway, you know, or somewhere. Because if an employee is sitting outside smoking and is driving away business, then that's hurting the business of the restaurant that's trying to make money, because the people who are paying for the food is not the employee who's sitting outside smoking, but the patron who's coming to buy food, who's like, oh, wait a minute, you know, I'd like to sit outside today, it's a beautiful day, but gosh, somebody's sitting over there smoking, you know. I know that may limit it. I mean, I'm for the ordinance as it is. It's a best case scenario, but I'm just saying if there's something could be added to make it better, I think that would be it.
Right.
Well, what I personally am looking for is something that, how can I put this? I personally see the issue with indoors, but if we say here is open space, we're going to stop you from using open space to enjoy your meal while you're outdoors. The restrictions on that.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, the 10-foot rule would apply to New Moon more than a lot of other places, because most places might not have that 10-foot thing. That's just my personal opinion. Am I as a patron going to go somewhere if somebody's smoking outside? No. I mean, the thing is, if you say that even restaurants, you can choose to go into that restaurant or not.
Yeah. And what I worry about is being overly restrictive.
Right. In a lot of places, like I have a twin sister that lives in Massachusetts, they have barred smoking everywhere. You can't smoke in or outside of a restaurant. So if it had been written, like even in Ireland, where you can't smoke except in designated smoking areas, then even those bars in Ireland, you know, like this lady mentioned, you wouldn't be able to smoke in the little cafes, the little outdoor cafes right outside of the bars. There are other designated smoking areas that you could go to, but it wouldn't be affiliated with outdoor cafes. I realize Aiken's small, and we probably don't have places that you can go to actually smoke that would be nice areas that you could fix up that you could smoke. So the alternative is, you know, letting people smoke outside.
Yeah, I know where the guys smoke in my building, and I don't go that the direction that they're smoking, because that's my choice not to go that direction. I go another direction.
But what I'm talking about, New Moon is different. I'm talking about the little cat.
I know where the New Moon is down here.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you know, you're going to walk through it to get in, and if you want to sit outside and somebody's smoking, you know, there's not a it's going to overwhelm your lunch. You're not going to be able to sit outside and enjoy it. So you can go in. So it's a non-smoker. You can just go in and not sit outside.
And the smoker would say, well, I can't go inside because that's not allowed.
Well, that's right.
I just want to sit out here. So
essentially, be moving the tables out. But you know, that's not the norm for restaurants. I mean, that's one case. That's probably the worst case we can think of.
Right, exactly.
The brewery might be a case there, too.
Right, and the brewery is a case there, too, because I'll tell you, I don't like to eat out there.
It's pretty hard to make something as sensitive and as important as this fit all the cases.
Right. You know? Well, so the people who do smoke should be thrilled that at least they've got that. You know what I mean? Because it's not like saying no restaurants and bars. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a win-win situation, because if the people who are smoking are complaining about, oh, geez, I can't smoke in the bars and the restaurants, they can go outside.
Right.
And, you know, and that's going to infringe upon my smelling it, but that's going to be good for them. So I'm saying that they ought to be more in line with, okay, if we say that you can smoke outside, okay, well, then there is a place that they can actually go, and the smoker will have to go inside. And, you know, and that's better than nothing, because right now, you know, I think your ordinance is better than nothing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think so, too, and it'd be pretty hard for us to have to choose,
that,
okay, where are we going to designate a place, and where don't we have to designate a place?
I know, because it's small, and it'd be hard to find a place like that.
And the alley, I don't even know who that belongs to. I don't think it's the city's.
Right.
Let me ask you a question, Carol. Have you ever mentioned this to the owner, that you know, about the same thing you're telling us?
No.
Hey, why don't you move your tables back a little bit?
Right. Well, the thing is, it's not really a place to move them back.
They'd have to move them down the sidewalk
a little bit. Yeah, they can move them down the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I don't even know who the owner is.
Yeah.
Just so you know, and that's the case. You could go and look at different cities as to what they have. Greenville says dining areas on public sidewalks, plazas, parks, decks, balconies, and patios of restaurants and bars, you cannot smoke. I mean, that's one extreme.
Where in Greenville downtown are there outdoor tables? I can't think of any. I mean, I've been there many, many times.
I could think of...
Where? In that plaza?
On Main Street, there's several outdoor dining tables.
Where? In front of what?
I don't know.
Little plaza across from the... I mean, I'm just trying to think.
I had pizza there last year at the Municipal Association.
I know, I was too. That's why I'm trying to think of it.
But anyways, there, whether you're on a public sidewalk, whether it's a balcony, whether it's a patio of the restaurant, deck, basically there's no place connected with the restaurant can you smoke. Aiken County says you could do it as long as it's open to three sides and as long as the entrance is 10 feet from any table. So again, there's... You can look at one extreme, you can look at the other extreme, and council will just have to make a decision. How do they want to deal with outdoor dining areas?
Well, I think Mrs. Best makes an excellent point. I mean, we're going to regulate the inside of the building, the restaurant, the workplace, and so forth, but we may contaminate the process of getting to it. So I can't think of a perfect answer. I wish I could. But I think somehow we need to look at it. I agree. You're essentially putting no smoking completely if you put a 10-foot rule in at some places in Aiken.
Correct.
Again, it's our ordinance. We can change it. We can say it's okay here. It's not okay there. But I think it's an area that we have to address. I can't think of a good solution right now. But I think it's good that we're talking about maybe doing something inside. But boy, when these no smoking ordinances first came in where I lived, it was hazardous to get in to the non-smoking restaurant. And so somehow I just would like to see that avoided if we could. We may not be able to, but we ought to at least address it.
I really, I see a difference between staying in a hotel room that is reeking of cigarette smoke and that has been smoked in, and staying overnight for 10 hours or 8 hours or however long you stay in a hotel or a motel room. I see that very different. I think in all of these ordinances, we're talking about the levels and the duration of exposure. I really do. And I have a great sympathy for people with allergies and asthma. That's another animal right there. But I do think that there's a great difference between staying in a hotel room overnight and walking through a doorway.
I was talking about eating.
I'm frankly not afraid to take my children through Sam's Bar to the outside. Maybe I'm stupid, but I'm not a bit afraid of it.
But I was just talking about eating outside. Mm-hmm. walking into as well as eating outside. And if you're saying it's carcinogenic, it depends on what you consider as carcinogenic. If I'm eating beside somebody and I'm sitting there for an hour and I'm breathing their chain smoking, if they happen to be a chain smoker, how bad is that for my second hand? How bad is that for me? Or how bad is that for my grandchild? I don't know. I mean, that's what those studies
right.
were
that's
saying, and maybe that's why Greenville decided to ban it, because, okay, you know, you may take a long lunch or a long dinner, and you may sit outside in a balcony or a restaurant area that's considered a public place and be, you know, with an asthmatic child or with somebody where secondhand smoke is bothersome. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what the answer is. But, you know, that's where I'm coming from. And there may not be an answer. It may be, okay, well, you know, hold your breath, walk in, and just eat inside, and don't eat outside if the smokers are going to be smoking outside. Because, you know, from what you're saying, you're thinking, well, maybe what you're going to ingest isn't going to be that bad.
But it's like
I'm not going, because smoke adversely affects me. And if I'm given a choice of, okay, there's an outdoor eating area and I'm going to eat outside, I'm not going to eat outside if somebody's smoking. Why? Because I can't breathe around
right.
smoke.
Right.
So you're going to lose me as a patron. I don't care if the restaurants don't care or the city council doesn't care any more than that. It's a fine line, because it's like, okay, you're going to make the people who smoke, where are you going to drive them to? You know, and I understand that. I guess I sort of consider smoking and a little bit a vice like drinking is. And as far as drinking goes, as long as you don't get behind a wheel of a car and drive, you can drink. To me, if you are smoking and something and smoking is adverse to the human condition because of the known carcinogens that it is, then if you're going to expose other people to that secondhand smoke, that's where the barrier is. If you want to smoke in your house, if you want to smoke in your car when nobody's around, if you want to do it wherever, everybody else wants to smoke and they don't have a problem, then that's one thing. But if you want to smoke and it's going to affect the health of others, to me, it's like getting somebody drinking behind the wheel of a car that could or could not, because that guy might make it home and not have an accident, or he could, you know, hit somebody. To me, if somebody has a bad habit that's going to adversely affect somebody else's health, it needs to be controlled as best as possible. That's the whole reason we're looking into this ordinance in the first place. That's just my opinion.
Well, you raise a very good point, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Maybe the owner could do something about that. Maybe he could make some of those tables closest to the door non-smoking tables. Something like that.
There's someone in the back that wants to.
Don, come on back, please. You don't mind walking back up here, do you? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Two years ago, my wife and I was in Boulder, Colorado. They were going through the same thing you people are going through now. Fortunately, the state have got involved, and they now have a law in Colorado, non-smoking bars and restaurants. But it might be worth your time to get a hold of their mayor or somebody in their city council to see how they were trying to resolve what we were talking about here, the smoking outside, because there was no smoking on the street where we were at. We covered like 10 blocks.
Sounds like Greenville then.
Yeah. But if you got away from the main street, there were some bars that had outside people, and they were smoking outside. Now, I don't know what the difference was. Maybe that's just how they resolved the situation, and people got mad and irritated and said, this is what we're going to do. But it might be worth your time to get a hold of them and see how they resolve this issue.
You don't think that maybe individual owners decided that on their own that they wanted no smoking at their businesses and others did?
I think it was a lawsuit.
Pardon?
I think it was a lawsuit against the city.
But we don't know.
I know. I don't know. We left. And we were only there like 4 days. I was reading in the paper. Mm-hmm. And I talked to some of the restaurant owners. They absolutely adhered to non-smoking. And they had not 10 feet. It was 20 feet on each side of their doorway. But there's more space there than there is in Aiken in the buildings. So it's a very, very difficult situation. Me, when I see, I have to hold my breath if there's somebody smoking within 20 feet of me, because I'm that sensitive, and I know other people are too. But I say it's a very difficult thing, and you have a lawyer here who can help make that decision. I know about Greenville because I've been there so many times. and I like the clean air, but you know, it's just really a hard decision to make.
Thank you, Don. Yeah, who? Yes, sir. Who else? Scott? Okay, you can be next, and we're going to...
I have a copy of her tape.
Of her tape?
Make a tape.
Oh. We can reach that on the website.
A couple things I wanted to say to Sam. You know, I've been in his establishment, and the some of the brews you make are excellent.
I don't own the brew pub.
Oh, you don't own the brew pub. I'm sorry.
He's got a good Warren's steak sandwich, though, that you might want to.
I'm mistaken. I thought he was. I thought you. I take that back.
This place is right here.
I take that back. But another thing I can say to you, and if the gentleman from the brewery was here, I could say the same thing to him. Last fall, I was down on Hilton. We lived on Hilton Head for 14 years, and last fall, I was down there for 2 months. And of course, last fall, they were non-smoking. And of course, they're still non-smoking right now, the bars and the restaurants. And so I had, because my wife was not with me, I had an opportunity to go into a lot of bars. Occasionally, I like to drink a beer.
Okay.
I don't overdrink.
We've got that on tape, too, now. You know.
But the opportunity that gave me was, number one, to sit down at a bar stool and be in a non-smoke environment, okay, which was very nice. Kind of like visiting Rhode Island, which is all non-smoking, or Massachusetts, which is all non-smoking. Very, very nice. But the thing I want to say to you to make you feel better is, you know, while sitting there, several times that I visited two or three places that I like to go to down there, I sat beside folks that were loyal customers, okay? And these are folks that smoke. And they still smoke. And what they do is they come into that bar with their cigarettes and their lighter in their hand, and they sit it right on top of the bar. They don't look at it, but they keep it close. And when they have to smoke, they just get up and they go outside and they smoke and they come back in and they have another beer. And so, but I had chats with these gentlemen to find out how they feel about this new ordinance, which is beneficial for you, okay? Number one, they're loyal customers, okay? They like the people that work there. They like the bartender that works there. Whatever the reason is, they're still coming back, and they'll continue to come back, okay? And so it really didn't affect the bar's business per se. And of course, Hilton Head, during the summer months, when the ordinance is still in effect, is visited by all matter how many people. But the number of people that dine and drink compared to Aiken during that time period is a million to one. I'm pretty high.
Well, that might be close.
Yeah, something like that. It hasn't hurt the Hilton Head business at all. If you talk to any of the business establishments, the reason we don't have a lineup coming into the front of Mr. Cavanaugh there from all the different owners of restaurants in Aiken is because those owners know it's the right thing to do. Otherwise, they'd be standing here complaining.
I'm not arguing.
Yeah. But I understand your concern as it relates to unfair competition, though, as a businessman. I understand that. I do believe the state is still working on a statewide resolution to the whole problem. But unfortunately, they don't act very quickly, so this is why we're gathered here tonight to try to make a difference in our own community.
That's Right. They may or may not ever come
one
up with
one. One last thing I would like to say, I would like to say it to the board. You know, sitting down over there and listening to the comments of the board, it makes me proud to know that you're committed to try to make a difference on this issue. I sense the commitment across the board, and I know that the people in the community appreciate that.
Well, thank you, sir, for that. Thank you. Could we get your name? I missed when you...
I'm Dave Best.
Dave Best.
Hey, okay. I was thinking maybe you were, but I wanted to make sure.
Chris.
Okay, let's see. Just a minute, Dan. Scott, come on up. Dan, you wanted to be last, right? Okay.
5 minutes.
Good evening. Scott Singer, 317 Live Oak Road. I had not planned on being here tonight, but several folks, citizens, came down to the county council meeting tonight. And while we had a rather brief meeting, it would have been briefer, except they came to speak about the smoking ban in the city of Aiken. And so they raised a number of interesting issues that I just thought I would just come by and share with you. And today I'm not here as a representative of the entire council, but I'm here as the representative for District 2. I do think there's some validity to the issue that we need to make sure that we have some consistency and uniformity in the application of the smoking ban throughout Aiken County. And to that end, County Council, to a person tonight, indicated that they would be more than happy once the City of Aiken and the City of North Augusta address this issue to sit down and see where there's ways in which we can make sure that the uniformity and consistency exists for a couple of reasons. One is the citizens would be confused in many cases as to what they could do and could not do. And then I also do think that as long as we're consistent and uniform throughout Aiken County, then those competitive advantages or disadvantages that either real or perceived that business owners would have would frankly go away. And so I know that we've done a lot of work working with the city of Aiken and the county to cooperate on a whole host of issues, and I just wanted to communicate to you that tonight when that issue came up that County Council stands ready and willing to address this issue with you. It's not an easy issue. I mean, I've been there a year ago, okay, I know exactly what you're going through. I don't know the gentleman's name who spoke before me, but I would just like to echo his comments. I'm proud of my city council. I feel like I've got an excellent city council. I'm proud to be a resident of the city of Aiken. And I know that ultimately you guys will do what you think's best. But this, for myself, was not an easy call. In fact, I saw the divergent ideas with the personal rights of the business owners versus the public health and welfare. Ultimately, I decided that the public health and welfare was the most important aspect of this, and that's why I eventually weighed in on the side that I did. When you get through with your deliberations, or as part of your deliberations, again, if you'd like to communicate with the county to see where we can make the best ordinance for all of our citizens, because I represent many folks that reside within the city of Aiken as well, just stand ready and willing. That's my only comments.
Right. Scott, thank you. Thank you for those comments. And I think we all want to work together, too. So whatever we do, we'll eventually get together, I think, and at least talk and see if we can't get all the same, maybe. Y'all will probably have to change to the Aiken ordinance, but not necessarily. But thank you for your thoughts and your comments. Okay, anyone else besides Dan? Okay.
It's a real honor to be here tonight. I'm 3 hours from home. I'm from Charleston. My name is Dan Kerrigan. I live at 1616 River Road, Johns Island, South Carolina, 29455. And I do also have some handouts as well. Gina is one of my Associates. I'm happy to see her here tonight, that she made the trip as well. I wanted to go last because I wanted to address some of the things, some of the issues that were brought up. And I was out there saying, oh, yes, oh, yeah, yes, oh, yes. And I tried to make notes. I took about 6 pages. I'm not going to read them back to you, but I want to hit on some of the highlights. First, my purpose and what I do in my work, I work to promote smoke-free indoor workplaces and public places through local ordinances to protect the health of the workers in those establishments. Our primary concern is about workers. I work in coordination with the American Lung Association, the American Heart Association, the American Cancer Society, the Department of Health, and groups like the South Carolina Tobacco Collaborative that are focused on tobacco. The difference in my organization is that I'm not affiliated with the Department of Health. I'm a community-based organization. I work in coordination with the South Carolina African American Tobacco Control Network, and we work under a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Our focus is on smoke-free indoor workplaces and public places, as I mentioned. Nobody's banning smoking. We want a smoke-free ordinance, and it's centered around the fact that everyone has the right to breathe clean air. A couple of things are going on in the states. In light of the Supreme Court decision, the Supreme Court decision was all about whether or not local governments have the right to create their own smoke-free laws. You know why they were discussing this? Because in 1996, the tobacco industry spread around a lot of money in Colombia, and the state actually reported it at the time, and I was working in tobacco control then. They listed the dollar amounts of contributions to a large number, some 75% or so of the legislature, some of the contributions as low as $200 and $500, and their votes as to how they voted on this language that was inserted into state law, which said that no local or municipal government may create their own smoke-free laws or may make a law related to tobacco products. The only problem is they screwed up when they did it, and they didn't preempt local law as they had intended to. Our Supreme Court, thankfully, this was not a victory from the legislature for local governments. This was a victory delivered by the Supreme Court. Across the nation, the tobacco industry tries to pass these preemptive laws because they know that it can most effectively weaken or block a smoke-free law at the state level. They love it at the state house. They have friends at the state house. They're even patting our friends on the back as they walk through the lobby. So you can imagine what they do to the folks that are really on their payroll. They have I don't know how else to describe it except a contempt, many of them, for local government, and they do not want you making decisions where they would prefer to make that decision. I'm sorry to report that to you. That's just the way it is. Now, as far as a state solution, there is no state solution.
Well, you just lost me.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. You just lost me.
For a quick reason.
Oh, I did?
Representative
yes.
Clyburn. This is Beverly, his wife.
Oh,
is that what you mean?
Yes, you just lost me.
My apologies. The majority, not
accepted yet.
Not all count. Not all of these legislators are bad.
And in fact, I may even leave the room.
Not only the room. Here, but I tell you what, we only had 3 senators stand up for us last year and block the legislation that was going through. Robert Ford. Joel Lurie and Senator from Somerville. But we only had 3 senators stand up for us. And in the House, the issue was in the House Judiciary Committee. So we were very focused on the House Judiciary Committee. What they were trying to do was pass a statewide law. Oh, and it was just brilliant. It was drafted by the tobacco industry. This law had a $100 exemption so that you could buy your way out of compliance, and you only had to post the hours on the door that said when you allow smoking. And during those hours, children are not permitted. So you could be smoking from 1 to 2, smoke-free from 2 to 3, smoking from 3 to 4, smoke-free from 4 to 5, all you wanted, just so you posted the hours on your door and you paid that $100 fee to the state. Now, the purpose of that is because the tobacco industry wants to make it confusing, they want to make it very hard to enforce, and they want to make it where nobody will bother to enforce this law. The practice of preemption of local laws has gone on all across this country, but nobody's passed a preemptive statewide law in years. As a matter of fact, all these states that you see going smoke-free in entire countries like Ireland, there is no preemption in those states, those new state laws. And a matter of fact, if they had preemption in them before, they wrote them out. Georgia's state law has no preemption in it. Local governments may pass their own laws. The reason we want to preserve that is because if the state passes a law that looks great, but includes preemption, and every single one includes preemption, including the one that was promoted by the Hospitality Association of South Carolina, that said that it looks really good, but then on the last line it says that no local municipal government may pass their own smoke-free law. Very clear, not like they screwed it up the last time. It's very clear that local governments may not. Then what they do is the next year they can come back, the tobacco industry that is, R.J. Reynolds, they got four lobbyists there. They'll come back with 10 bar owners and say, look at these poor people who suffered on Super Bowl Sunday. They're about to go out of business. This is the only weekend they make any money. We need to do something and say, okay, well, we're going to exempt bars. And in one action at the State House, they can roll back that smoke-free law and put thousands of workers back in the smoke. And our focus is on protecting all workers equally. That's why there's no state solution. Health groups, all the ones I mentioned before, were unanimously opposed to any statewide law at this time because our legislature is not ready to pass a statewide smoke-free law that will continue to enable local governments to create their own stronger laws. That's the bottom line on the state, and it's not going to change anytime soon. We were, it was a tough go. That's all I'll say. The Supreme Court, they've just ruled that local governments have the right to create their own smoke-free laws. There's nothing in state law that stops a local government from creating a smoke-free law. So why would we say, okay, great, local governments can do this. This is a tremendous victory. Let's pass a statewide law. We just went through that for the past year. We even had to hire our own lobbyist because we had to watch every single day what was going on because they were slipping these in to subcommittee meetings and committee meetings without any advance knowledge, and we couldn't expect our other lobbyists to be everywhere at all times. There's the enforcement of these laws is going to be easy if they are consistent, and I do agree with the consistency 100%. We want Aiken County to change their law. It is the weakest law that covers a large population in the state. I have nothing against the council members who passed that law. There are some terrible things that are part of this law. I highlighted these earlier today. This attached bars language. This places not prohibited. Let me tell you, this looks so familiar. It looks just like the law that was written at the State House by the tobacco industry, just like it. 18 persons, 18 years or older, deny access under the age of 18 and do not employ under any individual under the age of 18. An air handling system independent from the main air handling system that serves all other areas of the building, and air within the private room is exhausted directly to the outside by the exhaust fan of sufficient size. I'd like to see a fan of sufficient size. When top researchers in the country on smoke-free issues have said that if you had a 747 engine at one end of the room blowing out and a 747 engine at the other end of the room blowing in, if you're standing in between that smoker and the airstream, and the airstream's blowing toward you, you're going to be exposed to secondhand smoke. There's no physical way to displace that much air, and it's scientifically proven. The Surgeon General has said there is no safe level of exposure to secondhand smoke, and the intent of these laws is to protect people from secondhand smoke. So we wouldn't want to write anybody out, like bar workers, who also are parents and who are responsible for children. There is a smoking area that's written in here, apparently indoors. I don't know why that's written in here. Implied consent. I love this one. All businesses must post a sign warning where they allow smoking. This business allows smoking and may have hazardous smoke. Enter at your own risk. The signs shall be on a red background. I don't know why they don't have a pad at the door that is a whole harmless agreement that says they will not sue that establishment if they become sick from exposure to secondhand smoke. That is what they're trying to do. They want a contract that says releases any blame from them on any sickness caused by exposure to that smoke. That would include a heart patient who goes to that place.
Dan, you're losing me a little bit here. Are you talking about the county?
This is the county
now.
Yes, this is the county.
Okay, I knew you were at first, and I didn't know whether you'd gotten off of the county or not.
Right. Implied consent. It doesn't make sense if you know something's dangerous and you're going to put something in the law and you say, okay, Well, wouldn't it be easier to have a sign that says, and there's not going to be any confusion, if there's a sign at the door that says, there's no smoking in any indoor workplace or any indoor public place. And the law, the draft that you have here tonight, satisfies that requirement. Every health group in the state will get behind what you've drafted here today. It follows the Greenville's Supreme Court upheld rule, and it does not exclude or create a subclass of workers that are not allowed the same protections as other workers in the workplace. If we start to say that some of these workers, okay, we start looking at other characteristics of these workers. We look at their level of education. We look at whether they're male or female. We look at whether they're African American or not. We start to create a subclass of protection for those who are least likely to be able to do anything about it. And I applaud you for not including that in your current draft, but it is included in this Aiken County draft. And I blame us. I blame health advocates for not being more on hand at the time that they drafted this.
Well, what do you do when people walk the streets and get emission from cars? Are we supposed to, what are we supposed to do? I mean, you're saying that if you have to have jet engines to blast out the smoke, so should we not walk the sidewalks? Should we not get out? Should we not? I'm sorry. I don't like smoke when I'm having dinner or anything else, but some of your statements to me seem way over the top. I'll just be frank with you. I mean it. I believe that. I am very upset, by the way, in this ordinance where we don't imply, we say that SIDS is caused by secondhand smoke. That is not proven.
I'm afraid it's in.
Excuse me, it's in the Surgeon General's report. Okay, there are many opinions on this, and you know it. And I am very upset when I see statements like that, because I happen to have a niece that died of SIDS, and I don't want her mother for one second to think that secondhand smoke caused that. I don't believe it, and I will not sit here and listen to that. And I don't like to see it written in our ordinance either. I think we have to be very careful when we're making these generalizations that we are looking for the overall health of the community. I have no problem with that. But when we start making all these specific statements that are supposedly facts, factual, that's the word you use, and they are very debatable, I'm sorry, I hear both sides of it.
Here's something to look at, and it may be helpful. Whenever you're looking at research and you see that there is I was talking to a lady this evening about this. There is, if you see research, take a look at the source of that research.
Well, I do.
What has been found is that there is, every peer-reviewed study, for instance, shows that business levels either remain the same or increase after passage of a smoke-free law. The business, many business owners often argue that they'll lose money as a result of a smoke-free law. There's no legitimate proof of that. The tobacco industry funded studies show a loss of business, but what they show is that the business owners, they're based on the business owners' opinions. If you ask the business owners' opinions, they'll say that they're losing business. If you look at the actual business receipts, there is no loss of business. Only peer-reviewed studies that are not funded by the tobacco industry are the ones that you're going to be able to look at. The tobacco industry is notorious for that. So,
well, I also have experience in a business that the government has gotten involved in, and the government tells us all the time what good they've done, but I'm not sure that the professionals involved in this business necessarily agree with that all the time either. And they're not evil, and they're not exploited by special interest groups. They're just running their businesses, okay? So I'm a little skeptical when I hear these generalizations. I really am.
Well, I appreciate your comments. I'm not trying to be general, and the comments that I make is not to be inflammatory. It's because it's stated in not just the Surgeon General's report, but in multiple other research reports. And the three things that they mention frequently, the other two are lung cancer, approximately 3,000 U.S. deaths per year, and 35,000 heart disease-related deaths per year from secondhand smoke, people who have not chosen to smoke but are involuntarily exposed to it. So that came out in 2006 in the Surgeon General's report. It also refutes the air exchange argument, the smoke eater argument, that says that you can have a safe indoor environment by way of having this ventilation. It is proven not to be able to make the possible exchange.
Dan, can you get your final thoughts.
I will. I've got some research here we conducted in Charleston.
You know, on all these research things and all the numbers we're seeing, obviously there are different opinions that we're going to have for one reason or another.
Right.
If you were here at the beginning of the meeting, you heard a gentleman say that you believe those things, you know, something to that effect.
Well,
essentially,
I'll get to
hardly anything probably that we have written down here, and I think most of the things that we have that have been reported, I think most of them are true. Now, that's not to say that something isn't, but I think the majority of what we have and what Greenville had in their ordinance, all the information that they put down is from the various organizations. The majority of that, I firmly believe, is true.
Well, it's,
you can argue all night on this.
It's the reason that so many smoke-free laws are passing across the country.
Absolutely.
We have some horrific health statistics here in South Carolina, and we want to do everything we can to reduce those health statistics and the disparities. And we want, this is an easy way to do it. It's a cost-free way to do it. And so that's what we want to do. I've got a packet with some research for you. These are some key points about worker health and our concern with worker health, and that's what all health groups are going to be consistent on. We conducted some surveys. Charleston, it took 7 years to do this. They were one of the first to start doing this. Sullivan's Island went ahead and beat them to it and went ahead. But Sullivan's, I've got a list of all the ordinance, the passage dates and implementation dates on this sheet. I've got these are air quality tests that we conducted inside the city of Charleston, North Charleston, and Mount Pleasant, and it shows the particulate matter inside these establishments that are smoking, and then smoke-free venues, and then the outdoors. And it shows there's a line across here. This is the EPA daily maximum exposure, EPA maximum allowed daily exposure limit for particulate matter, and this the average was 4 times higher than that inside these establishments, inside bars and restaurants. The particulate matter is 2.5 microns in diameter or smaller, and it's small enough to be inhaled, and it sticks inside the body, and so it can be absorbed by the body and the chemicals that the lady was describing. So this is our air quality test. This is a visitor survey. We're concerned about tourism in Charleston, very much so. 91% said they'd be as or more like, yes?
Do you have a copy of that?
Yeah, I'm going to give you all a copy.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
No, why don't you just pass it around?
I'll do that,
recapping.
But a visitor survey, a resident survey, overwhelming support, a Metro Chamber of Commerce overwhelming support, and then a couple testimonials from some restaurant owners who are supportive in other areas, and a website to go to talk about how the tobacco industry has conned the hospitality industry for decades, talking to them about how they're going to lose business and put them up to it. We had our largest problem at State House was this insistence that local governments be preempted from passing laws. There's nothing to prove that by having preemption that you're going to save, that it's going to be better for the health of an individual business. So that's pretty much it. I do hope that you stick with the draft that you have now. And I'd like to also offer that my phone number's on the front there. You contact me at any time for anything else.
Okay, so, Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm just curious, how did you get a copy of our draft?
I came by, the Aiken County?
No, the Aiken City.
Oh, I stopped by here this afternoon before 5 o'clock.
Okay, so you knew we were meeting and all that. You had it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
You stay tuned to all the various towns and cities?
I do. We've learned a lot of, we made a lot of mistakes. We learned a lot by trial and error, and I like to share whatever experience we can. We learned a lot from outside the state. That's where we got some of our best information. A lot of places have gone before us. South Carolina is behind the curve, and we can learn from some of these municipalities who've already made these mistakes. We don't have to make the same mistakes.
Right.
I believe Aiken County's ordinance was a mistake, and what the lady said earlier about hopefully we won't have to go back and fix that later here. One concern is the neighboring municipality argument. If you have a large population like you do in this area here, and you're leaving out bar workers, and then it goes to the next community, eventually it's going to butt up against Beaufort or Charleston, and it will start to have an impact. When the state goes back and considers a statewide law, hopefully they won't put preemption in there, and we'll be fighting against that. But they will argue to pass the least common denominator, more than likely, given the experiences that we've had in the past. We hope that's not the case.
Okay.
So we want local governments to enable local governments to pass their own smoke-free laws that protect all workers equally.
Dan, who funds Smoke-Free Action Network?
We are funded by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. We had a grant earlier from the Medical University of South Carolina, and we raise money through individual donors in the community. And we partner with groups, and we all share resources, expenses. Charleston's implementation campaign was put together by some of the groups I mentioned before, including the South Carolina Cancer Alliance, and that's another group that we work. They're very much in focus with our smoke-free work.
Okay, thank you, Dan.
Thanks.
Appreciate you coming up.
Mayor, I just want to say a couple of things, and then I'll be done. I agree with the gentleman who talked about how much money he spends on asthma medication. I know what those costs are. And I think there are many other people in town who realize what those costs are. I think most of the people who own restaurants and bars realize that that there are people who come in and they ask for a non-smoking section. And maybe 10 or 15 years ago, it didn't hit quite as many people. But then I think people began to realize that smoke is no respecter of area. It doesn't stay in one area. So if you go into a restaurant that has a no-smoking area, and it's right across the aisle from the smoking area, you realize the smoke's going to cross over anyway. So I think a lot of restaurants have gone to completely no smoking, and I think those people have realized that their businesses have not gone awry, that they have, in a lot of ways, may have picked up some businesses that way. And I applaud them for doing that. And I know we need to do something, but I don't want to criticize what anybody else is trying to do to solve the problem. I do agree with Sam that we would be better off if we had a statewide initiative that could fix this for everybody, because you have some smaller towns, especially near the tourist areas, that have not looked at this yet, that need to look at this. And if it's like the gentleman said, he's working with the African American, whatever the name of the thing is, tobacco, smoke-free. I'm talking about areas that have high concentration of that population. And they're not looking at this yet. And so maybe our best effort would be to make sure that we can craft something that maybe the state or somebody could look at and say it's okay to go ahead and do this statewide and not have to cause everybody else to go through what we're going through. I think the hospitality industry would look at this and realize through study what they would need to do. And I just want to say that I know we shop for places that have absolutely no smoking, because I'm like the bloodhound. I go in and I say, well, I smell smoke, and so we don't go there. I go to the hotel room and I say, you know, this says this is no smoking room, but I can smell the smoke. And I have to do that because for us it's a matter of health or going to the emergency room. And so I want us to put forth our best effort with this in such a way that, A, we don't put anybody out of business, and B, that we don't craft something that can't be lived with. I don't want us to put forth anything that's going to hurt the character of Aiken. And if that's completely no smoking, and you know, that's what we should do. If it's modifying what the county did, that's what we should do. I have looked at what we drafted, and I've heard some objections to some of what's in here, but I think we can work it out. I think we need to move forward in a positive way and bring in all the partners, listen to all the people that spoke tonight and consider what they had to say and put forth something that is going to be easy to live with. Now, I can't vouch for the research. I had a nephew that died with SIDS, and neither parent smoked, and I don't know that I would want to say to her that, you know, that smoking caused that. I just
I'm sorry, I never said that SIDS was the sole cause.
Well, you didn't say the sole cause.
Just as
I'm just saying, I don't want anybody to start thinking, but I just think that that for whatever it's worth, we all know that smoke is not good. It is not healthy for anybody that I know. And so something has to be done. I just want us to make sure that we do something that, like we always try to do, and that's something we can live with. I think you've written a good ordinance. I think there may be a few things wrong with it, but I think we can make this work.
Actually,
Mr. Mayor, what are we doing? Are we voting on this tonight?
No, we're not
just information. We're just having an input. Okay.
Yeah. And I really started out last year when this all came and the county passed it. I said we want to be like the county, that we do want to coordinate. But I have done my own studying, and I really don't believe that it would make sense for us to match the county totally. And I believe that Richard and Roger have done us a great favor by giving us what is really considered to be a good, sensible ordinance. It is workable. And I do believe that we ought to stick very close to it. There may be a rub somewhere, but I don't even see that. I think little compromises can take place. And what is the restaurant that the lady was talking about?
New Moon.
Yes, it might squeeze them, but I don't think that in Aiken we need to get this 10-foot or 12-foot. I think for that casual passing through, those sort of, I think we could change that. But I think basically other than that, I think the ordinance is very acceptable as it is. And I really think that we ought to work on it and have it come back somewhere in that form. I should add, I'm a reformed smoker. I have never personally objected. I can sit in a room with smoke-filled people if I have to. Don't particularly care for it. Doesn't make me sick or anything. I'm not worried about it for myself. But Mr. Beckham isn't here now, and I'm so sorry. I wanted to keep him here just a moment longer. He talked about, what, 10% of the smokers? And that we were, because they're such a small group, we were going to impose our will on them. That's not the intent of this ordinance at all. It's to protect the welfare and lives of the 90% of the people who do not smoke. That's really what it is. It's in the common weal to do so.
I did want us to clarify the pizza place and the walls.
Yes,
and that's in the I think you have said that it has been taken out and reworded, and I think that was one of the areas that I had starred, and so I'm really glad that you have we have corrected that.
When you say
that.
Taken out,
I mean it has been clarified for me that the.
That they can or cannot.
Oh, I'm thinking you're saying that they
can.
Part wall will work under some circumstances, but we would have to define.
If you want that, then we have to define it because it says right now it has to be open to three walls.
So you cannot smoke there now. That's the point.
Okay, but I thought you said you defined the wall as going up with a roof and all of that.
It's a little fuzzy.
Okay, I would like to have that clarified.
Well, if that's the case, then what we would need to know let's just take some real life examples. Papa Ross has an outdoor area that's open to two sides. So are you saying that as long as 50% is open? We either need to go ahead and, because again, you start talking about a partial wall. Well, what's partial? To some might be 2 feet high, to others might be 4 feet high. Is 6 feet high partial wall? It'd be easier for us to be defined by percentage or something. Right now we're saying open to three sides, so we know that 25% is not open, if one side. But again, like we were talking about, I think Leslie brought up the fact that Stoplight Deli, even though the side areas are only 3 or 4 feet deep, that's opened only on one side. Mm-hmm. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So again, if we're going to start defining this, it's easier for us, if we're going to make enforcement action or go to a restaurant, to be able to say at least 50% has to be open or 75% has to be open, or some number that we can go ahead and use instead of just saying, well, partial walls are okay.
I wonder.
They could not stop like Deli just pull those tables out from the wall.
They certainly could.
Mm-hmm. Solve that problem. Mm-hmm.
They certainly could.
I mean,
that's their solving, but Papa mm-hmm. Russ then, you know.
What, does he even have smoking in that out there?
I believe he does.
I don't know.
Papa Russ does.
Do we know?
Mm-hmm. He just opened on two sides.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Papa Russ is opened in for outside.
Yes.
Like I said, that was the one concern of all the restaurants, was that outside dining be allowed to
And if you did it, it would almost be something like thinking of Papa Russ's. If you got three vertical or four vertical points, you've got, so how do you get that? It has to be at least 50% open is what I think, Roger, you said in that one.
Well, I'm just giving you
it's a rough.
The county, and I'm reading this verbatim, says outdoor dining areas which may be covered by a roof but must be open on at least three sides. So what they're defining is, in the county, an outdoor area, you can have smoking, but it has to be open on three sides. So again, if we're trying to get consistency, then we'd have to look at
Sam.
That consistency in some manner or another.
Sam's got
that would make input. It consistent.
If we said it has to be open on three sides, we were consistent with the county, but then the pizza joint would not be consistent with that.
But then in this ordinance, it says clearly, enclosed area means all space between the floor and ceiling that is enclosed by walls or windows which extend from the floor to the ceiling.
That's what I thought I heard.
That's what it says right here on page 4 at the bottom. So that's what we're defining enclosed as, a wall that extends from the floor to the ceiling. And there aren't walls that extend from the floor to the ceiling on three sides of that.
Yeah, it would be the converse, if you will.
I mean, or the other way around, whatever.
Yeah.
On page 4. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were reading?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that needs to be defined, because a person then could build everything and leave a 6-inch opening at the very top, and it's not going to work. I'm just saying that that's one way of interpreting that.
Sam had a suggestion. Did you still have?
I don't have a suggestion. Has not to do with the three sides of things.
Oh.
My question was, I'm going to go to the North Augusta. Is there a consensus to council that maybe we could, has North Augusta seen our ordinance? Is there, I know it's not your place as, you know, being in the North Augusta also, but are any of you going to attend the North Augusta meeting? Is there,
Sam, Roger and I were just talking about, he's going to talk with Sam about their ordinance. We're going to see how they fit as it stands right now, their draft ordinance.
I don't think they have a draft ordinance yet, Sam.
And maybe they can, and we'll try to get together on, if we can get two together before they take theirs to the council and we take ours.
And I didn't want to give them anything, Sam, because I didn't know how council felt about some of these areas on outdoor and some of the other areas that we put into the ordinance.
Well,
I want to mention something else before we close. I had four calls today, and they didn't come tonight, and I know they don't want to speak in front of this group because for a lot of reasons. But anyway, the question that was the point of three of these people was, with this county ordinance, there's this sign that says, I mean, you can make fun of it if you want to, this business allows smoking and may have hazardous smoke. That if that were required on a business, I think there are many, well, already there are most restaurants in Aiken don't allow smoking. I don't go to the ones that do. I'm not going to sit next to somebody and have smoke blow in my face. Will I let them smoke in my living room? Yes, I will. But, I mean, I just don't like it when I'm having dinner. But I really think that if we had something like that to warn the citizens that this is a problem, that this is a hazard that's going to be there, so that there's no chance that they walk in and have any notion that you know, there's not going to be smoke in that place. I don't think you should have to go in and find out for yourself, Beverly. You know, I think that that should be a warning. I don't see that our business owners have been so terribly irresponsible. I have to be honest. I just don't see it.
Right.
I see that they have been very sensitive in most cases, mm-hmm. and in most cases, all you have to do is say something to the waitress or the owner, and I don't know a business owner that hasn't tried to comply. I don't.
Well, Jane, we haven't said businesses have been.
But we're all worried about them building walls with only 6 inches at the top. Yeah, I mean,
we're concerned about those that do smoke in there. We're also concerned about
that.
The people that work there
I
as
know
well.
That. And I think we can.
Not you and I
that.
Go in there. We'll choose not to go. But yeah. mm-hmm. there are people that have to have a job, and some of them work in those places.
Well, that's. And I think that saying that that someone may not smoke in their own private office is ridiculous, frankly. I don't see that that's our right at all.
Their own private office. In a business, within a business?
It says the private office is what it says in the ordinance.
That public might go into.
It doesn't say that the public might go into. It says a private office.
Maybe it ought to say that the public might go into.
Maybe it said it in a previous paragraph, though. I don't know. I just have a lot of questions still.
Okay, well, that's
just clear the air. I don't think any of our restaurant owners are irresponsible either. I love the restaurants, and as I said, I don't care whether people's personally, it doesn't bother me, but I know that it is a health hazard.
16 years ago, I thought I'd be a trendsetter, but I made my restaurant 125 feet smoke-free.
And you still are.
And I still am. I'm not
a trendsetter. Except for the Warren sandwich, which I too love.
Okay, where do we want to go? Are we ready to bring this to council at our next June meeting, as is, or do you think we have enough questions or comments? Maybe read it over a little bit more. We need another work session or what?
Mm-hmm. Well, Mayor, wouldn't we? I mean, if it comes back, we're going to have two readings.
Oh, yeah.
So that.
Oh, sure. This is.
I mean, I think we've worked through a lot tonight. Yeah. But
we'll end up having two public meetings
more to hammer out.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to be addressed is what constitutes three sides. And to go back to the example across the street, there is three sides, in my opinion, to the pizza joint, but they are not in equal dimension. You have Newberry Street, of which it's a lengthy area, but on the side it's probably about 4 to 5 feet on both ends, north to south of the Newberry entrance. So what constitutes, is it feet that we're looking at in terms of saying it has to be three equal size to say this is three size? Because there are openings.
You're talking about this partial wall thing again?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I think we'll come back to you with the percentage of area.
Yeah.
So we don't get into this partial wall, what is a partial wall, and what's two sides mm-hmm. versus one side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because most of that is open.
Right.
The way it is now, most of it is open. Anything else?
I think Mr. Johnson has a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Johnny, you want to come up again?
Well,
you need
half a second.
Can we hold you to that? Half a second?
Yeah.
All right. It's up.
You
time's
probably
up.
Have some zoning ordinances and some maybe OSHA regulations and so forth. If you were to take that feature joint built up as high as it is, I think there's probably some ordinance that requires you to have some sort of a railing or something on that area. I think you'd find the same thing if you went to the Tiki Bar out behind Aiken Hotel. When you've got some sort of a platform up, I believe that you'll find somewhere in most zoning or building codes, you have to have some sort of a railing around there. And I don't think that railing that's around or fence, I mean, you can go to Sands and say, is that open on three sides? No, he's got picket fence around his
side. Yeah, we don't want to get it.
I think that you don't get that ridiculous.
Right.
And open on three sides, two sides, or whatever, just take into consideration that you probably have to have some railing around something.
That's a good point.
That's all.
Thank you, Johnny.
That's about 10 seconds.
Well, yeah. Next time you come in here to speak, we'll remember that. We'll knock it down. Any other comments?
No.
We ready to bring it back to City Council?
Let me make one comment here. I agree we need consistency. I'd like to be the spearhead, quite frankly. I'd like us to do a good enough job so that North Augusta and Aiken County will copy what we do. We know what we have is clearly in line with the Supreme Court. I'm still bothered a little bit with the 10-foot thing. Maybe we can't make it applicable to restaurants because we've got some very unique considerations, but this is not just for restaurants. This is banning, creating smoke-free environments. So I still would like to see consider the 10-foot rule maybe in workplaces, maybe exempted in the business community, but what are we gaining if we say, let me just pick a business, a bank, what are we gaining when we say you can't smoke in the bank, but you can all smoke out in front of the bank, so people have to go through all the smoke just to get into the bank or the business, whatever it is. It still kind of bothers me a little bit. Do we have within the city a current smoking ban on the athletic fields?
No.
So smoking is permitted at Citizens Park?
It's open.
During athletic events? Okay. All right.
Well, and let me just say, I think eventually, again, I am supportive of this ordinance, but at what point do you infringe on a person's right with air?
Well, it's not air. It's not air. It's not air when you smoke. And I asked the question about Citizens Park because predominantly there's where you have a lot of children. When we went to the youth protection ordinance meeting, we had trouble getting parking spaces because if you notice all those little kids playing soccer, most of them were 5 and 6 year olds. Mm-hmm. This is not about restaurants, and I think we've been talking predominantly about restaurants. This is a smoke-free environment for workers. It may manifest itself more overtly in restaurants because there's more smokers, but it's about a smoke-free environment, and I'd just like to make sure that we keep that in mind as we go through. I'm about advocating Citizens Park, but I think a lot of folks in the community would support it, but
well,
it isn't part of it.
Again, I'm supportive of this, but I would venture to say that if we get into banning smoking, and I'm not definitely not around children, but if someone is standing at their car smoking a cigarette, they're not around anyone, and if we say to you, you're violating our ordinance, I'd like to see us win that case. I'd like to see us win that one.
Depends if it's on public property or private property.
Because we have three kids that actually live like that, and I remember watching games, and there were people in the stands smoking, and all the little kids were around. Well, when you think about that, it's a personal problem, and I think that's where you're coming from in saying that. you know, when the parents are there watching the small children play the game, the kids are in there and dug out and things. That's a huge area for something to consider. But I think that's different than somebody smoking right outside the car. They're talking about like in the field when there are a lot of parents and kids around.
The comment was made, if you're talking about banning smoking from an entire location, it means that you can't stand and smoke at your car.
Well, I think for the most part, I used to see people standing outside places where they worked, where they couldn't smoke inside, and I used to see them standing outside at doorways smoking. I don't see that much anymore. I think employees have said to these people, you have to go somewhere else because we don't want the general public to see you. We don't want you to get in their way. I don't see people in front of banks smoking. I don't see them in front of doctor's offices smoking unless they're putting one out as they get into the cars. I just don't see a lot of that anymore. And I was really thinking that there weren't that many people still smoking. I know there are some, but I think a lot of people have given up on trying to find a place to smoke. I used to feel sorry for them standing out in the rain trying to get a smoke because they couldn't go into the building. But I think a lot of places have designated a place for them to go so that they're not in the way of the public.
I agree. Smokers, by and large, are far more considerate than they have been.
Yeah, they are.
That's really the point. I think they're more considerate.
They do care about how they affect them.
Well, just to make a comment about the Citizens Park, and believe you me, I've spent quite a bit of time out there this summer with the two boys playing ball, and I've not seen the first person light up anywhere around there. Or anywhere around the ball games.
I am so happy to hear you say that. I don't go there, but I just didn't believe that this was going on.
Yeah, I've not even seen anybody in the parking lot at the athletic fields.
Now, I go to the football games at the high school football games, and I do see smokers. But I think they have an area that they have to go to. I don't think they could smoke in the stands, but I'm not sure.
But I'd also like to say, along with Jane,
that they have a smoking area, is what Gary is telling me.
That I feel like that, you know, we can take this thing way too far.
Yes.
That we can make it a much bigger problem than what it is. And we've also got to respect the personal property rights of the owners as well. You know, we and my store, I changed it to non-smoking on the inside of the store about 6 or 7 years ago. But that was a decision that we made to do. And it has not adversely affected any business. But, you know, up until that time with the painting contractors and all that in the back of the store in the morning and drinking coffee, and they would all smoke. And, you know, until my customers started complaining to me about it and saying, you know, this store really smells bad, which I knew it did. But, you know, to hear them say that is what prompted me to do it. And here again, I think we've got tremendous business owners here in Aiken who've responded to what the public outcry has been to them. And I think we're going to continue to have that. But I just wrestle with that thing from one avenue of looking at, you know, this man owns this business, this man, a woman, owns this business, and their right to choose what goes on, and, you know, your right to choose whether or not you go in there, and the employees' right to choose whether or not they work there. And I see all that coming into play with this. And, I certainly want to protect people and want to protect people from secondhand smoke. But, you know, I think we can go too far.
I agree. But I think we all agree that the ordinance as written doesn't go too far. But we don't want to carry it to the next phase.
Right. Okay.
And we actually even have supporters from the group back there that say we've got a good draft ordinance.
Okay. Any last word for the good of the cause? How about adjourn?
Adjourn.
Okay.
did all say to
the businesses that are held to the residents. I don't know of another business in this community, and I swear I go into everyone who's smoking this product. I don't. So what the heck are we making a law for everybody? Come understand us. As Republicans doing some good. This research is completely debatable. And it's all of a lot of mine has been fighting anybody to the tooth and nail that says that it's better, it's worse to inhale secondhand smoke than to smoke cigarettes. He says that it's ridiculous. I mean, and he's no idiot, and he deals with this all the time, and he never smokes.
Are you good? This is driving me to smoke.
Me too, I want a cigarette. Of course, what?
11 feet outside the front door.
Now when we have to get the Bowery,